"I beg your pardon," he murmured. She remained motionless in the center of the room, filled with knick-knacks, examining inch by inch the giant with square shoulders and with a tattoo of ashes on his forehead, and through the haze of dust she saw him in the haze of other times with a double-barreled shotgun on his shoulder and a string of rabbits in his hand. "For the love of God," she said in a low voice, "it's not right for them to come to me with that memory now." "I want to rent a house," Aureliano Triste said. The woman then raised the pistol, aiming with a firm wrist at the cross of ashes, and she held the trigger with a determination against which there was no appeal. "Get out," she ordered. That night at dinner, Aureliano Triste told the family about the episode, and Ursula wept with consternation. "Holy God!" she exclaimed, clutching her head with her hands. "She's still alive!" Time, wars, the countless everyday disasters had made her forget about Rebecca. The only one who had not lost for a single minute the awareness that she was alive and rotting in her wormhole was the implacable and aging Amaranta. She thought of her at dawn, when the ice of her heart awakened her in her solitary bed, and she thought of her when she soaped her withered breasts and her lean stomach, and when she put on the white, stiff-starched petticoats and corsets of old age, and when she changed the black bandage of terrible expiation on her hand. Always, at every moment, asleep and awake, during the most sublime and most abject moments, Amaranta thought about Rebecca, because solitude had made a selection in her memory and had burned the dimming piles of nostalgic waste that life had accumulated in her heart, and had purified, magnified, and eternalized the others, the most bitter ones. Remedios the Beauty knew about Rebecca's existence from her. Every time they passed the run-down house, she would tell her about an unpleasant incident, a tale of hate, trying in that way to make her extended rancor be shared by her niece, and consequently prolonged beyond death. But her plan did not work because Remedios was immune to any kind of passionate feelings, and much less to those of others. Ursula, on the other hand, who had suffered through a process opposite to Amaranta's, recalled Rebecca with a memory free of impurities, for the image of the pitiful child brought to the house with the bag containing her parents' bones prevailed over the offense that had made her unworthy to be connected to the family tree any longer. Aureliano II decided that they would have to bring her to the house and take care of her, but his good intentions were frustrated by the firm intransigence of Rebecca, who had needed many years of suffering and misery in order to attain the privileges of solitude, and who was not disposed to renounce them in exchange for an old age disturbed by the false attractions of charity. In February, when the 16 sons of Colonel Aureliano Buendía returned, still marked with the cross of ashes, Aureliano Triste spoke to them about Rebecca in the tumult of the celebration, and in half a day they restored the appearance of the house, changing doors and windows, painting the front with gay colors, bracing walls, and pouring fresh cement on the floor. But they could not get any authorization to continue the work inside. Rebecca did not even come to the door. She let them finish the mad restoration, then calculated what it had cost, and sent Argenida, her old servant who was still with her, to them with a handful of coins that had been withdrawn from circulation after the last war, and that Rebecca thought were still worth something. It was then that they saw to what a fantastic point her separation from the world had arrived, and they understood that it would be impossible to rescue her from her stubborn enclosure while she still had a breath of life in her. On the second visit by the sons of Colonel Aureliano Buendía to Macondo, another of them, Aureliano Centeno, stayed on to work with Aureliano Triste. He was one of the first who had been brought to the house for baptism, and Ursula and Amaranta remembered him very well, because in a few hours he had destroyed every breakable object that passed through his hands. Time had moderated his early impulse for growth, and he was a man of average height, marked by smallpox scars, but his amazing power for manual destruction remained intact. He broke so many plates, even without touching them, that Fernanda decided to buy him a set of pewterware before he did away with the last pieces of her expensive china, and even the resistant metal plates were soon dented and twisted,